Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
And my message tonight is called, You're Already Clean. And we will get to the logic behind that name. Some ways towards the end, that way you have to pay attention and you can't fall asleep because you're like, what does he mean you're already clean? What is this about? You know, is he going to talk about personal hygiene tonight? Maybe a little bit. I don't know. It could be useful. No, but we'll get there. So we're talking about surviving the silly season and kind of what that is all about. It's, you know, this is the silly season. It is Christmas. And exciting times. And as much as it's fun, it can also be stressful. And, you know, we're doing a fair bit of traveling, which is going to be great. But, you know, maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're seeing family you don't usually see. Maybe it's just a crazy time. Maybe where you work is crazy. My other work that's not here, I work in a studio. I think most of you know that. But we do a lot of work, design work for shopping centers. And so this is definitely the silly season because for the last month or so, we have had marketing people from shopping centres calling us in a frenzy, needing their Christmas trading hours posters and their promotions for their Santa photos and all of these things done. And they all say, oh, you know, we needed it last Thursday. Can you do it today? Can you rush it? All of that. So it gets stressful, and I'm sure other people are in similar situations, and this is that time where things can be a little bit crazy, but I think it's a really important time, one, to remember why we have Christmas, and that Christmas is not about, you know, extended shopping hours and what presents we're going to get and what awesome food we can eat, even though all those things are great, but it's about Jesus and what he did for us and what he continues to do for us and that he came and he gave his life for us, and that's what Christmas is really about. But as well as that, I think we just need to remember to be nice to each other. You know, we've been talking about this thing of community and kin and relationships and friendships and building those genuine connections. And in some ways that's deep and it's spiritual, which is great. But in some ways you just need to be nice to people. And if you could just be a nice person, then everything would go a lot smoother, I think. Is anyone with me? If people were nice, then your day would be easier. Your life would be easier. Amen. If you're a nice person, my day would be easier. No, I'm just joking. If we are nice to each other, it really actually makes a tangible difference to our lives and to other people's lives. And tonight I want to share a little around, you know, how we can do that, where we can get that from. Dad shared an amazing message this morning. And as I sat there, he talked about the main scripture that I'm going to talk about and the main themes that I'm going to talk about. And I was like, oh, come on, this always happens. So we are going to prove that the Word of God is living and active, and we're going to share around John chapter 13, which is the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And we're going to jump into that again. If you were here this morning, you already know the story, so we can all just kind of take off. But I'm going to pray before we do that. Yeah. God, just thank you so much for this time that we have together. God, that it is precious, that you have a plan for it and for all of us, that you brought us here for a reason, God, that community and church is not something to be neglected, but it's something powerful and something that you are going to use for your kingdom and your purpose. So God, we pray that right now in this time we would have open hearts and open ears, and God, we would really hear your word to us tonight. Amen. All right. So we're going to share around this story. If you've got your Bible, you can open it up. John chapter 13, and the story goes from verse 1 to verse 17. So we might read, we might paraphrase, but we'll get through it. Is that all right? Yeah. Are you glad you came to church tonight? Yeah. Good, good, good. Okay, so since it was just before the Passover, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's a key part of this. passage. He says he knows what time it is. He knows what's about to happen. He knows that he's about to go to the cross. And he loves his disciples, these people that he has spent his life with for the last few years. And it says, you know, in loving them, he loved them to the end. And it says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So it's all happening. It is all in motion. Judas is already going to betray Jesus. And I think this is really interesting because the assumption would be that Judas is there and Jesus is about to do this incredibly humble thing to the guy that he knows is going to betray him. But that's kind of the point. And that's what Jesus does for all of us every single day. But that's another thing. So he's there. It says Jesus knew, this is important too, that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knows who he is. He knows who his Father is, and he knows where he's going and what his power is. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So he knowing who he is, knowing that he is God, he decides to wash his disciples' feet as this ultimate act of servanthood and humility and putting himself in the lowest position. I don't know if we're, most of us probably are semi-aware of this whole thing, but during this time, you know, everyone just wore sandals because Vans weren't invented yet, and then they got dirty feet, and so then when they went into a house, they would have their feet washed, and usually a servant would do that because it's gross. Yeah, come on, that's what it is. We know, you know, someone's been walking around out in the dust all day, and it's hot because it's in Israel, which is in a hot part of the world, and it's sandy and all of that, and they're sweaty, and it's gross. And so Jesus says, I'm going to do the gross thing that nobody wants to do to make sure that you're clean so that we can eat together. There's so much more going on in this than is just the obvious. And Jesus knows that, and his disciples know that. Well, they get it in the end, and we know that, yeah? He says he comes to Simon Peter, who says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Because he knows what's going on. And he's like, Jesus is my master. He is my Lord. Peter has acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, the Christ. He knows who he is. And he's saying, what are you doing? You know, and then he says, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And Peter says, no, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. He says, then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean. You are already clean. But not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him and that he was there. So he washes their feet and he says, do you understand what's going on here? And what I did, and he says, you call me Lord, you call me teacher, and you should do that because I am your master, I am your teacher. But now that I have done this, now that I have lowered myself, he says, you should do that for each other, and you should wash each other's feet. Because he says, no servant is greater than a master, and no messenger is greater than the one who sent them. You know, he's saying to them, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we need to understand humility and we need to understand putting other people first. And he says, if we do these things, we'll be blessed. He says, now that you know it, if you do it, you'll be blessed, which is so much of the Christian life. Is blessing doesn't come from just knowing that the Bible says things for us to do, but it comes from doing the things that it says to do. And that's what Jesus is trying to get. And really interestingly, this is like right before he goes to the cross, he is trying to put this one last value into his disciples. And so he wraps it in this incredibly powerful illustration where he does something that just breaks all of the social rules and everything that was going on at the time to really drive this point home. You know, as Jesus was their teacher, he was their rabbi, and they were his disciples. And so most rabbis, most teachers, their disciples would just, they'd be like interns or whatever. Like they would just do all the grunt work, do everything for their master, and they would love it because they were serving their master. And that was how it was supposed to work, yeah? Are you with me?
Yeah.
You guys here tonight? You with me here? You know, that was how it was supposed to work. And so Jesus is literally turning it upside down and is doing exactly the opposite of what is expected socially because he wants to teach them something. Is that cool?
That's right.
And I think he wants to teach us something tonight.
Yeah.
So my thought is this humility, this ability to put other people first, which I think is key to being nice to people, key to surviving the silly season, is to put other people first and to understand what's going on in somebody else's life. Not to think of myself as higher, but to be able to put myself low and humble myself so that I can treat others well and I can put them first. Is that it needs to come from this place of strength and this place of security.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we serve people out of weakness or we serve people because we want to get somewhere. And we think if we grovel, we can get it. I don't know. Like that's happens in our lives. But Jesus doesn't do that. He knows who he is. He knows where he's going. He knows where he came from. He knows who his father is. He knows the power that he had and that he has. And so he humbles himself. And that's really, really powerful. And that's what I really want to share around tonight. And what I think we need to understand is that when we get ourselves to this place of strength and of security, then we can put other people first. Then we can be nice to each other and nice to people even when they're not nice to us. We can be gracious to people in the shopping center car park when it's Christmas Eve. I don't know, but maybe we can try at least. And so really the question is, how can we build that strength and security so that we can put other people's and put God first in our lives? And I think this is about the silly season and about how we can survive Christmas, but it's about any season in your life, really. It's about what are the things that I do to build strength and security into me, and in what areas do I need to be strong and I need to be secure so that I'm not affected by what's going on around me, but I can be that person that put others first, that it humbles myself, that goes that extra mile, that does something for others, that does the unexpected thing, that it really shows that I'm a follower of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He's like, this is a thing that you should do for each other. Not literally. Like, we're not going to have a feet washing at kin this week. Although I think we are trying to start a no shoes policy in our house. Anyway, good luck. I just distracted myself. Just give me a second. No, you know, how can we build that strength and security into our lives, okay? So there's a few areas. These are some things that I shared a couple of Sunday mornings ago very, very quickly, but felt like God really put them on my heart, and so I wanted to expand what I meant and talk about them a little bit more. So if you really were paying attention, then you'll know what my points are. But you probably don't. So first one, we need to be secure in ourselves. You know, if we want to serve others, we want to put people first, then we need to know who we are and we need to be secure in that, yeah? You know that we are all sons and daughters of God, that we are all chosen, that we are all a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that we were all knit together in our mother's womb by God, that he saw us, he created our innermost being. You know the Bible passages, like I think most of us do. We know these scriptures that are these promises of who we are in Christ, but we need to let those things sink into our hearts so that we truly know who we are, yeah? You know, Jesus is in this situation and he is totally secure in himself. I mean, if I'm insecure about who I am and about how people see me, then I am not going to do anything to put myself in a humbling or embarrassing situation. Am I right? Everything that I do, everything that we do is going to be an effort to portray the best version and the best portrayal of me that I can. because I'm worried all the time about what somebody thinks of me. And so I'm not going to take my shirt off and wash your feet in the middle of dinner because that's really embarrassing. It's really humbling. It's like saying I'm the lowest of the low. And if I feel that and if I'm worried about that, then that all that's going to do is put myself down further. Yeah. And we can't be people who have that false humility that comes from insecurity. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Now, that's not humility. That's fear. You know, that's I'm worried and so I'm not going to do anything. I'm insecure, so I'm going to just give in all the time because I don't know myself. But we need to be secure in ourselves, and we need to understand that that comes from God. You know, Jesus knows who his Father is and that everything would be put under his power. And I think this is a really amazing thing. Because Jesus is saying, not just with washing the disciples' feet, but in going to the cross, he says, everything is under his power, but he chooses to humble himself for us, for his disciples and for us, yeah? And he knows the power that he has, and he chooses humility. And I think a key word for us in this whole area is choice, because it really is a choice to be humble. If you are weak, then you can't choose humility, you know, because you will be humbled by other people because of your weakness. And that sounds harsh and bad, because it is. That's kind of the world we live in. But when you are strong, when you are secure in who you are, then you choose humility. And that's a powerful thing. And that's when a strong message is portrayed. And I think the reason that this impacts the disciples so much and impacts us so much is because we know who Jesus is. And we know the strength that he has. And we know where he came from and where he was going and what he was doing. And then we're going, what are you doing? You are the boss and you are humbling yourself. And it's the same in our lives, yeah? When we know the strength that God has put in us and we humble ourselves, it's a powerful thing because we choose to put other people first. Is that okay? Is that all right? So how do we know, how are we secure in ourselves? Well, honestly, that's a bigger topic than we can cover in one night. But let's get a hold of the promises of the Word of God. These things are not just written down for no reason. You know, the Bible was not translated so that we could put it on our bookshelf, but it was so that we could hear the Word of God and we could listen to it and we could put it in our hearts. And so let's put it in our hearts. Amen. Now, let's be people that know that word back to front, and so we have confidence in every situation. I don't know if I've told this story before. If I have, that's all right, unlucky. But when I was younger, thinking of cricket, I used to be terrified of fast bowling. I got hit a couple of times in the leg with big bruises and pain and all of that. And so I just was really a little bit freaked. And I would struggle every time we played a team with a guy that was quick. Now I was like 12 or 13, so probably now, you know, they're nothing. But at the time, you're a kid. It's quick, yeah? And I used to go out to bat with that verse in my head, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a nonsense verse to do with cricket. Like, that has nothing to do with cricket at all. But the Word of God was in my heart, and it got me through a situation that at the time was a really big deal to me. And I guess all that is saying is, if you're scared of fast bowling, you should get that verse in your head. Or you should ask your dad to bowl at you. That was the other thing that probably beat the fear out of us, literally, was dad bowling in the nets to our cricket team and hurting a few people. And then any 12-year-old was not going to be as quick as that, so it didn't matter. But no, get the word into our hearts because it's real, it's alive, and it's powerful for our everyday. And that's where we find our security. And my security doesn't have to come from the situation in my life or what I think other people think of me or how I appear. And so then I don't have to try and appear a certain way, but I can just be myself and be confident in myself because I know that I'm created by God, that he has a plan for me, that he has a purpose for me, and that he made me who I am for a purpose. Amen? So we need to be secure in ourselves. We need to be, number two, secure in our home. know, where I belong, in church, in community, in family. You know, Jesus is there with his disciples, these guys that he has lived with every day for 3 years, that he has spent every single moment with, teaching them, eating with them, living with them. You know, we've got these four gospels that cover maybe a few months of ministry if you string it all together. And Jesus spent years with these disciples. So there are lots of boring bits that were left out. It's like when they turn a book into a movie and they make it shorter, unless it's The Hobbit, then they make it three movies. Anyway, but you know, there's all these moments in their life where they walked along a road. You know, I was looking, you can do this cool thing on Google Maps, which I didn't realize, but these people have put together this thing where you put in Bible verses and it shows you a map. Like, it overlays those references onto Google Maps and it shows you where things happen. So if you're curious, you can do that and you can go, okay, I want to see the Gospel of Luke, and there it is. And I was looking at that, and I was really amazed at the sheer distance that Jesus covered in his ministry on foot. And that's a lot of time with these disciples just hanging out and just talking. And so they are really good friends. They are family, yeah? And they're secure in that. And Jesus is secure in his home with these guys. And so he has this ability to serve them and to humble himself and to put them first because he knows them and he trusts them and he has been with them and has seen them at their best and at their worst and in every situation. And it's the same for us. When we're secure in our home, then we can live with humility. Then we can put other people first. Yeah, it's the same in our life groups, in our kin groups, in our church community. Yeah, when we are secure in that, then we don't mind serving, we don't mind humbling ourselves. But I think, again, this is a choice. You know, it's easy to feel left out in church life. Even, you know, as we have a relatively small gathering tonight, you can feel like you were left out or like you weren't included or like somebody didn't talk to you enough or like something about community applies to everybody else except you. But it's not. We are all in this together. We are all a community. We are all a family. And it's up to us to choose to accept that and to be secure in that and to be secure in our home and not to be worried about what other people think, but be secure in the place that God has put us, because God has put us in this place for a reason. You know, Jesus gets to Peter and he says, oh, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter says, no, I don't want you to do that. And then he says, you never wash my feet. Peter loved making these definitive statements that then would totally flip around the next sentence. He's just like a passionate guy, I guess, which is great. But Jesus says to him, he says, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And sometimes we are in community and we don't understand what is going on. We don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand what other people are doing, but later we will understand. And so we need to learn to trust God in that. And trust that he has placed us here for a reason and for a purpose, and that he has put the people in your life so they can do something in you and for you, and you can do something for them, and that it is all going to work out. But it's a decision to be secure where we are right now, yeah? And to be secure in the place where we have been planted. So we need to be secure in our home. Is that all right? And the third thing, I think we need to be secure in our future. We need to be secure in where we're going and what God has planned for our lives. We need to have a security and a knowledge that God has a plan and a purpose, and that nothing that happens and no circumstance or situation is going to change that, but that God has a plan for me. And so I don't need to worry about other people. I don't need to try and get there by myself. I don't need to try and put myself up, but I can humble myself and I can put others first because I know that he has a plan. I know that he has a future for me. And so if it seems like in the natural, maybe things are delayed because I let somebody else go first, then that's fine because God has a plan and he has a purpose. Amen. And Jesus, he comes to this situation with his disciples and he knows where he's going. He knows the purpose for which he came to earth, and he knows that he can do it and that he's going to, and he knows where he's going afterwards. You know, we get fixated on this world, but we have a heavenly world, a heavenly city to go to, yeah, and a destination, an ultimate destination that has nothing to do with anything here. And that's where we're going. And when our hearts are fixed on that, and that is our destination, and that is our purpose, then we don't worry about anything else. And it's easy to put somebody else first, or to humble ourselves, or to act with humility, because we know where we're going. And nothing that anybody does or says can affect that or change that, yeah, because we know our ultimate destination. You know, when you're insecure about your future, you tend to grasp at it. And I think you tend to treat other people as obstacles rather than as family. You know, when you're insecure and you don't know where you're going in your future, then other people become stepping stones to the place that you're trying to get. And we tend to think that my future will come at the cost of other people. And I need to be better than somebody else. I need to be stronger than somebody else. I need to be smarter. I need to do better at work than other people if I want to get promoted. And I'm going to take the job that they would have got. I don't know if that's what you think. But I think that we can get caught into that trap, or if we're insecure about our future, of I've got to be better than other people, rather than God has a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. I can put other people first, and I can trust God with my future. Amen. I can trust God with where I'm going. I can trust that he has a plan, and I can trust that even if it doesn't look like what I thought it would look like, my ultimate destination is heaven anyway, so it doesn't matter. And I can get there. And so that way I can put other people first, and I can act with humility because I know where I'm going. Is that cool? You know, this whole story is this example to us of humility, and it's a really powerful thing that we should love each other in this same way that Jesus demonstrated love to his disciples, in humbling himself and getting the lowest place. You know, Peter says, oh, well, if you're going to wash my feet, you know, wash my hands, wash my head as well. And Jesus says, no, I'm washing your feet as the lowest of the low. But what he's saying to Peter and also to us is that we are already clean, and that all we need is our feet washed. And I think that in this room, we are already clean. You know, we know what Jesus has done for us. We know that he died for us, that his blood washed us clean. You know, this story is not just an example of humility or of how we should practically treat each other, but it is a picture of grace, and it's an illustration of Jesus on the cross, of saying, here I am, knowing who I am, and I am going to humble myself and make myself lower so that you can be clean. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so this is this amazing image and picture and forebear to what's about to happen in the Gospels and what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that we are made clean by him, totally washed clean. And that's such an amazing thing, you know, that he gave up his power and his authority to make each and every one of us clean. And that we are already clean. You know, as soon as we accept Jesus, we are made clean. Once and for all, we are washed clean. And that's what he says to Peter in verse 10. He says, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. You are clean, though not every one of you is talking about Judas. But he's saying, you've had a bath. And I think he's saying that to us. You've had a bath. You know what it means to accept the love and the grace of Jesus. You know what it is to have him in your life. You have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus on the cross. We are already clean. But let me just wash your feet again, so that you can keep doing the work that you've got to do. Let me just wash that daily dirt off your feet. So that's that forgiveness every day. Oh, that's that new mercy every day. Is God, I'm sorry for what I've done today. I'm sorry for what I've done this week. I know that you've already washed me clean, but just wash my feet again. Yeah? And it's this great picture for us, I think, and a lesson for us. And as we go into the silly season, or as we're in it already, or whatever it is, you know, we can be people that know that we are already clean. Yeah, and because of that, we don't have to be insecure about who we are, about where we are, or about where we're going. Because we are made clean by Jesus. He has a plan for us, a purpose for us. He has grace for us. And all we need is just a little feet washing every now and then to keep us fresh. Amen? Amen? So let's just pray together. Hey, maybe the guys will come. God, I just thank you for every person here tonight. Thank you that you speak to us, that you are with us, that your presence is here. God, I pray that you would really just be sinking this word into our hearts. God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you have inspired people to write it, God, and to write down what Jesus did so that we can hear it and we can learn from it. And so, God, we thank you for that and pray that you continue to put it in our hearts. But God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that because of him, we are already clean. That we don't have to strive or strain, but we can be secure in who we are. Know that we are your sons and daughters, God, because we are made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, right now, we just ask, we just thank you for that. And we just ask that you wash our feet again. God, you give us a fresh focus. You give us a renewed strength. You give us a new mercy today, God, to do what you've called us to be the people that you've called us to be, to know who we are, where we've come from, where we're going, God, be secure in you. And God, that yeah, just wash our feet again. Thank you, Lord. God, I just thank you that you're with us right now. God, thank you that you're speaking to us. Thank you, God. And we're going to put this prayer up on the screen, and I think it's a really powerful thing to pray again. Maybe you've prayed it before. Maybe you haven't, I don't know. Maybe you want to, you know, renew your faith. But even if you're feeling good, then let's all just pray this prayer together, because it really is saying, Jesus, just wash my feet again. I just need to be fresh. So let's just pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Cedar Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.